The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you in the whole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 6th. Field, Mike, and Star, Fonya Bell, hanging out with you as we are now halfway through Week 10. Where did the season go? Seriously.
I know. I can't believe we're in double digits. The moment I switched to double digits, I was like, I can't believe it.
It's a little bit jarring.
Field, I listened to Christmas music on the way to work today.
You know something, though, Mike? I have a very strong take about this.
Okay.
I believe that the window for Christmas music begins 60 days prior to Christmas. I actually texted my brother the morning of 60 days prior to Christmas. And I told him, do you know what day it is? And he said, I got a board bet.
Wait. I believe the window for Christmas.
You're both wrong. Because the window for Christmas music begins after Thanksgiving.
No!
Prioritize your holidays.
Now, see,
that was my board bet.
Look,
that was
as
my
soon
board
as the Hallmark channel is activated and there's Christmas, I was actually surprised by it.
I can't believe I host this podcast with two dudes who are telling me they're listening to Christmas music and the Hallmark channel is showing Christmas music.
Listen, once you start getting that Thanksgiving feel that, you know, that you're coming towards that coldness and that Christmas time, decorating time, it's all bets are off.
Look, I'm going to California this weekend. There is no talk of Christmas.
Oh, when you come
winter.
Back here,
I don't
you're good
care.
To go.
I'm just telling you, this is not a debate. It's a fact.
Christmas music season has already begun.
I'm with you.
We need a poll. Yes, we do.
Okay, that one. You know, this is actually a poll I can get behind. And just don't even necessarily say whose opinion is which. Just when does Christmas music season begin? Option A being end of October. Option B being after Thanksgiving. Option C being like a week before Christmas. And just leave it there.
Where did you get the 60 days?
Like, I just made that up in my own mind. Sometimes I make things up and it works and it sticks.
So 60 days. So you go in the calendar and you look at like, you count backwards, you go 60 days would be
Well, I
October.
Figure about 2 months. So like at the end of October, basically, is what I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay, so the end of October is your...
That's my barometer. Now listen.
Pre or post Halloween?
I'll get weird. Pre Halloween. I happen to have one of the best Christmas music playlists in the history of iTunes. Like, I rock out, if those who don't have the 2014 Darius Rucker Christmas album, phenomenal. Love it. One of my favorite tracks of all time. Pentatonics is a must listen this time of the year.
You have some old school Christmas music on there.
Of course, I've got all the classics.
Aaron Neville.
Yes.
Christmas album and all that. Okay.
Many of the great ones, of course. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. And the remix that includes Justin Bieber.
School,
I've got them all. Listen, I'm a Christmas music enthusiast.
I love it. I grew up on the Elvis CD, so I'm a sucker for that. But
Elvis, Blue Christmas might be
one of the best songs of all time. Forget Christmas music song.
So listen to this. You guys are sitting here telling me all these great options for Christmas music, and you're just going to limit it to like a couple weeks before Christmas?
I know. That's crazy.
Because that's why it remains great. Because I'm not already sick of it by the time we get to Thanksgiving.
I'm sad when it's gone.
Yeah, okay. I have a lot of words for you, Stefania. A lot of words for you. I'm going to bite my tongue. And before I regret saying something, I'm going to say, Jackson, press the button.
After Thanksgiving, Field. I mean, Kyle.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, a lot of news on the injury front. Good to have Stefania Bell in her poor taste. And when it is time to start listening to Christmas music back, let's go to Pittsburgh, Stefania. The Steelers, all of a sudden, 4-4. All of a sudden, getting ready to play a massive game against the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. Might they have their star running back, James Conner, back?
If you count Coach Mike Tomlin saying he was optimistic that he would have him for Week 10, then it sounds like it's a possibility. Again, they're going to limit him in practice early in the week. There's no real reason to expose him to contact. It's the last thing you want to do. So I think they'll get a feel for it. This will probably have a pretty good idea by Friday. I originally thought maybe they would let it go a little bit longer. They got a healthy Jalen Samuels. But I think the fact that they feel so good about how Connor is doing, now maybe it's looking like this week.
Okay, here's the good thing about this injury situation. I don't want to say there's anything really good about an injury situation, but we know what to do if he plays and if he does not play. If James Connor plays, you have to roll the dice and play him. If he does not play, we already know the value of Jalen Samuels. We talked about it yesterday on the Waiver Wire Pickup Show. We've been talking about it a bunch since really last week when it became clear that James Connor might not play. It's same game, Stefania, and a somewhat unnerving situation with Brandon Cooks, Rams wide receiver, who, if people don't recall, when they went to London and played the Bengals in week 8, he suffered a concussion. And Brandon Cooks has suffered multiple concussions this season, and he's had others in his career. People happen to remember one of them in the Super Bowl against when he was with the Patriots against the Eagles, because you knew right away what had happened.
Well, and it sounds like he is doing what guys do when they've had to deal with this injury several times, which is consult with the specialist. We know he went out to Pittsburgh, to UPMC, to see Mickey Collins, who has really managed so many NFL players and athletes from other sports and has a lot of experience with this. So often serves as a consultant for players who are dealing with long-term ramifications from concussion injuries. And, you know, it's kind of like we saw with Sterling Shepard. I go back to that last week. You know, he also had consulted with folks. They got to a point where they felt like he was doing better. He was intended to be active for Monday night. And then we found out Sunday that he suddenly wasn't feeling well again and was pulled back. These injuries become very unpredictable. And the fact is that even as he makes progress, there's probably still going to be concern on his part, on the team's part, about when do you activate him. And even when we hear, if we hear, I mean, we don't know if he'll return this season or not. That's still an open question. But even if we hear he's back in practice, this will be one of those things where every single day is going to potentially impact his status because there's a lot of uncertainty.
No team has a higher percentage of plays in which they drop back with three or more wide receivers on the field this season, Mike. And that's kind of par for the course with Sean McVay as an offensive coordinator, which means that if Brandon Cooks is out, we should see a lot of Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you have Brandon Cooks, he's a guy you can consider grabbing off waivers. In fact, waivers cleared on ESPN this morning, and I still see Reynolds out there in quite a few leagues. So 10 or 12 team leagues, he's an option. I will say this, though. I was a little discouraged when I look back at exactly how much fantasy production he's had. If you look at his last 14 games with 30-plus snaps played, that traces back to the beginning of 2018, he's averaging 9.9 fantasy points per game. So you could do worse. You might be able to do better, but he's at least an option. I know I have Cooks in a league where I'm kind of stuck in a deeper league. I grab Reynolds. I'm going to plug him right in there.
Totally anecdotal and off the top of my head, but it feels like of those 14 games, it's been fairly boom or busty. Like, it's not like a consistent 9.9 points. Like, hey, he's getting like 4 or 5 catches for 40 or so yards. It's like he's had multiple touchdown games, and then he's had games where he's had 1 catch for 3 yards despite being the third wide receiver and a good passing offense. I have some concerns about the Rams going to Pittsburgh on Sunday, by the way. Don't know if it's going to be one of those shootout-type games. I am sitting here, crossing my fingers. I've got my eyes closed for some reason. I'm not sure exactly why. But I really hope Stefania delivers me good news about A.J. Green right now.
Look, I think he's coming back this week.
All right. That's what you want to hear.
This is because of the way A.J. Green has outlined it for us. He's a guy that you really appreciate when you're doing the stuff I'm doing, because he's very straightforward. I think when he didn't have anything to say, he really wasn't talking. He was just doing work. And at one point when he came back to practice, he was telling reporters, or when not even practice, but he was doing some work on the field, and he first spoke to the media, he said, "I don't really know where the initial time frame came from. I know this is going to take longer, and I'll just let you know when I'm ready." And then we've seen him progress his work steadily, even again when it wasn't practice participation, in terms of the intensity of what he's been doing on the side fields and working with the medical staff. Now the hope is, his intention was to put in full practices this week in advance of the game. So today being Wednesday, we'll get the first full injury report from the Bengals. If he's a full participant, then you can count on him coming back.
Man, that will be great, great news. And there's a long way to go here. I really do believe that, like, I'm going to need assurance on Sunday morning at 11:30 when inactives are out before I feel totally 100% confident, because it's not that it's not a medical situation, but I always feel like there's more to these with a player of his caliber and the organization and the final year of his contract, etc. But, Mike, if he does play, they play the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Do you feel confident? Like, we've had this conversation about a lot of players this year that, like, their first game back, you're not quite sure whether you would utilize that player. Is A.J. Green more the exception where you say, I don't care if it's his first game back in 12 years, or in this case, I think, like, 15 games, I'm playing him?
Well, he's played 17 snaps since week 9 of last season.
Wow.
Because remember, he barely played in the second half last year, missed the whole first half this year, so it's been a while. But here's the thing. The last time we see, he's 31 now. Last time we saw him, he was already over age 30. All right. So he's kind of entering, you know, maybe a little bit past his prime. He's still in 8 games last season. He played in full, 45 catches, 687 yards, 6 touchdowns. He was wide receiver 8, right? So he was still delivering strong wide receiver 1 numbers. So I'm a little bit nervous. I'm going to keep an eye on reports. If we get one, then he's going to be severely limited. That honestly, that probably just means he won't be out run blocking, right? That probably means he'll be out running routes at least. Unless there's some report that he's going to be on a count of 15 to 20 snaps, that's the only reason I would bench him. He's just too good. And if he's healthy enough to play, I think he'll be healthy enough to give it a go when they're throwing the football.
By the way, they throw it a ton because they have to. They're so deplorable on defense that a lot of the things that we've seen so far from the Bengals offense are actually good for Andy Dalton, for AJ Green's value.
Well, I was just about to say, if you're the now this new young quarterback
Ryan Finley takes over,
how happy are you if you get this number one weapon back on the field? And I feel just by the nature of the injury that AJ Green had, you know, remember they called it an ankle sprain. Obviously, with this extended time, is a little more involved than that. And he had the arthroscopic procedure to boot. He's not coming back. It's not like something where you think like they're really going to control his snaps. It feels like if he's ready to go, and part of the reason for his wanting to delay it was, I don't want there to be any questions. I need to be ready. He's made it clear he wants to play if he's healthy enough to play. So I don't believe he's back out there if there's any doubt, at least in his mind, about how much he can play.
All right, Matt Ryan for the Falcons missed their last game prior to the bye. They're back, and I believe Dan Quinn addressed a little bit of his practice participation this morning on the radio, Stefania.
Yeah, he said he expects him to be out there and getting a good bit of work done today. Being Wednesday now, some of these teams are having bonus practices earlier in the week. Yep. So he didn't do anything early in the week, but Wednesday with their first full intensive practice in the injury report, I expect to see Matt Ryan out there.
You know, the team sort of gave us an indication during their bye week when they waived backup quarterback Danny Etling, who was backing up Matt Schaub for a week. Not that they couldn't re-promote Danny Etling, but that might have been an early sign of confidence that Matt Ryan will be available on Sunday against the Saints. Saints are a good defense, Mike, but Matt Ryan, I mean, fantasy friendly so far this year.
No question. You think about that last game we saw him where he was injured and he was kind of struggling throughout that when it was the Rams game in Atlanta. It was kind of surprising how little he was doing fantasy-wise. But the 2 weeks prior, he was a top two fantasy quarterback in both of them. In fact, in 6 full games this season, he's been top 10 in 4 of them. So you just talked about Cincinnati having such a bad defense that they have to score and just to keep up. And that's led to a lot of garbage time production from Matt Ryan, who also has a career-high completion percentage. Like, he's playing really good football. The only thing that changed was some interceptions at the beginning, and the defense is just so bad. It just puts so much pressure on him. Reminds you of kind of Drew Brees like 5 years ago, right? So if I have a lot of investment in Matt Ryan, I will be starting him for sure this week if he's good to go.
Yeah, he came back for a limited practice even before that last game, and I think they were just being smart. Like, there's no reason to put him out there when he couldn't really be as mobile as he needs to be just for his own protection, but I don't think he'll have any limitations.
Same game, different team, different position here, Stefania. Alvin Kamara, I don't want to say that it's flown under the radar, because it hasn't. Just from a real football standpoint, we haven't talked about it as much because they just keep on winning. But Alvin Kamara missed a couple of games prior to the bye. He's now back. Do we think that means that he will play on Sunday?
Yeah, as always, we'll know more once they're doing official practices. But Alvin Kamara, in the week before they went on the bye, remember Drew Brees was coming back? He was catching passes from Drew Brees in practice. So it's not like he was completely out of it, but he had the ankle injury. He also had a knee injury. For a guy who relies on the quick cuts and being sharp and mobile, there was no reason to bring him back when they didn't have to. He had the extra benefit of that time away from the game. I'd be surprised if he's not out there this week.
Well, if he is out there, you know what that means. You're continuing to play Alvin Kamara. There's your big time breaking news.
Hashtag analysis.
Elevated level of insight you can only get here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I mentioned earlier that I texted my brother about Christmas music season beginning. He texted me a couple of days ago, not about Christmas music, but about, hey, can I actually start Kenyon Drake again? I started them with some hope last week and it worked out. And I responded, I wouldn't do it. Mike, he was your overachiever in week 9. Kenyon Drake was remarkable when, let's be honest, no one saw it coming.
Yeah, there was no reason to. He was playing the 49ers. He'd been with the team for like 3 days. We didn't know. I mean, the reports were very questionable as to how
he was hurt. Like, it was a lot of bad indicators.
Yeah, the process was fine if you benched him. I think we've talked about that before. It's fine. Nonetheless, at 28.2 fantasy points, if you did throw him in your flex, good for you. You had a big week, but his expected total was 15, still pretty solid. I mean, he played, 88% of the snaps in that offense, so still had a pretty high expected total, but blew that off the doors, almost doubling it. You can't expect that. Even if David Johnson is shockingly rolled out this week, you still can't expect somewhere close to 30 points for Kenyon Drake. Though, I'll tell you what, the Cardinals running backs, if you combine all fantasy points scored by running backs this season, the Cardinals are in the top 10. So they're actually getting decent production. A lot of that has been through the air. Obviously 162 yards, touchdown, 19 touches in that debut, but he did only have one carry inside the 25-yard line and only has six career carries inside the five. So he's not generally going to be used in that
capacity.
Not a
hammerhead. No.
Yeah, exactly. David Johnson's going to be back. Chase Edmonds at some point will be back. I just think he's going to do it. We talk about this all the time. The handcuff steps in, they have a big game, and then we wonder, is there standalone value? Is he going to eat into the starter's workload? And almost every time,
the answer is no.
Yeah. They go and they're a backup. They were a backup for a reason in the first place. So I think Johnson will remain the guy. His rushing efficiency hasn't been great this year, but it's been fine, and he is a mainstay and playing very well as a pass catcher. He's just going to play a big role, and it's not going to be enough, I think, for Drake to keep up RB2 numbers.
It's not personal, but DJ Chark did underachieve last week. Mike, you expected him to have a bigger day than he ended up yielding, which was just 7.2 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's weird. We had Gardner Minshew on the show, and he was like, he's going to have a big day. He told us right on
well,
the show
Gardner,
last week.
I don't ask so, Gardner what he's doing right now. So, you know,
that's a good point.
We'll talk about that
that's
a
good
second.
Point. I'm just glad you're back. I'm glad Fields in the chair and not Gardner because he missed on that one. But
is that a pot shot, by the way, a minute ago? Was that a pot shot? You're trying to like.
That was that Gardner Minshew.
Okay.
Who got benched.
All right.
Yeah.
Be careful.
I'm glad the smart, intelligent Field Yates is back in the chair. That's what I'm saying.
I'll let it slide.
I was also high on DJ Chark last week. So anyway, I'm also guilty.
I was just hopeful.
Yeah.
So I was equally disappointed.
And here's the thing. He was positioned for a big game. That's kind of what we're getting at. 7.2 fantasy point score, but his expected total was 15. I believe he had one where he had the ball and fell into the end zone and it just rolled out of his hands. That might have been Chris Conley, but both of them had a similar play where Minshew hit them and they fell to the ground and dropped it. So it could have been a bigger day for Chark. That one catch, for example, would have put him right near his expected total. Still had 9 targets in the game, only the 4 catches for 32 yards. But here's the thing, his 7.2 fantasy points, his fewest of the season. That was a bad game, his worst game of the season, had 18 plus fantasy points in 5 of 8 games entering their bye, which is this week. And by the way, Nick Foles, it could help him potentially. I mean, they're not scoring a lot of points offensively. Maybe they score a few more. Maybe they get more touchdown opportunities, more red zone opportunities. That could actually help DJ Chark. Keep in mind, Foles only attempted 8 passes in week 1. He was 2 of 2 throwing to DJ Chark and had a 42-yard touchdown. Very small sample, but the good news is it's not like he just wasn't going to do anything with Nick Foles, and then Minshew comes in and his best friend. He's actually, if you look at just games where DeeDee Westbrook and DJ Chark have been on the field together and healthy this season, Westbrook's actually out-targeting DJ Chark. But Chark has been, you know, the playmaker downfield, scoring the touchdowns, the more efficient player. It's going to be a good situation even with the quarterback change and even with him coming off kind of a down game.
I don't know if Mike even realizes that he just answered like 4 of the questions that we were about to ask here.
Yeah.
But first of all, Mike did break the news that Nick Foles is now the starting quarterback again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They announced that yesterday. Not an easy decision to make because as poorly as Gardner Minshew played this past weekend, even looking fantastic along the way, he has been really rock solid for them. I think you can make the case that he will prove to be, I know this is going to sound outlandish, one of, if not the most valuable commodities from the 2019 NFL draft, because you could potentially trade him for something that's way more substantial than the 178th pick. And if he's a backup quarterback for $2.7 million over 4 years, backup quarterbacks right now, like Chase Daniel, I think makes like $7 million a season. If you're paying Gardner Minshew $700K, the guy clearly has a future in this league. Nick Foles is back, and one of the questions that I know a follower on Twitter, Kevin, wanted to ask, and sorry for hijacking Keith's question here, but we all like Didi with the idea of Foles starting this preseason. Do you think it's time to reinvest in Didi Westbrook, despite the fact that the team has a bye right now, and he was banged up last week?
Yeah, Westbrook should remain on benches or as a flex option. He was a flex / wide receiver 3 before he got hurt anyway. So again, I don't think much changes here. Westbrook and Chark were already seeing a significant target share, both around, I think Westbrook in the 22 to 23% range, Chark around 21, 22%. that's more than enough to be a starter, especially if they're scoring more points like we expect. So
it'd be interesting to follow Westbrook's health status, because this is the neck shoulder issue that he's had for a couple of weeks, and his intent was to try and play through it. I was actually surprised that he ended up not being able to go this week, because he is trying to play through this. So it tells you it must have been really bad for him not to be able to go. And I'm under the impression that it's going to be something that's potentially he's going to have to manage for the rest of the season. So with that being said, Chark becomes, I think, that much more attractive.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're Nick Foles, like, you've been the backup who's been the guy who's come in and the starter has always come back.
He got Nick Foles. Yeah, almost.
He basically, it's his turn to sort of have that and be able to come back from it. So we'll see how he does.
In just a second, we're going to dive into Mike's Fantasy 32, one of the many articles he writes each week for us here at ESPN. But first, a word from the most fit woman I know. She, many people tell me they have, that Stefania is arms goals.
I got them covered up, though. I did box this morning, so.
Why would you cover up for boxing? You're probably jacked, even more jacked than usual now.
Chilly.
Okay, a little chilly. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
okay.
Let me tell you about Vitamin Shop. That's S-H-O-P-P-E. Yeah, Vitamin Shop. Stop sacrificing taste for performance when it comes to sports nutrition. The Body Trek brand has flavors as mighty as you are, like cereal-inspired protein and more, all powered by leveled-up taste technology and only at the Vitamin Shop. Now you can save on pre-workouts, aminos, protein, and other supps backed by the BodyTech brand's quality promise. Our listeners can use code ESPN2019, that's ESPN2019, for 25% off your entire purchase at vitaminshop.com or in-store until November 30th. The BodyTech brand, no limits. Offer cannot be combined with any other coupons.
All righty. Time to get to Fantasy 32. I'm going to go get some vitamins after the show from Vitamin Shop. And Mike, Allen Robinson gets plenty of targets. The question is, are all targets created equally? And you might have an answer on that.
They are not, but they've been pretty good for Allen Robinson this season, believe it or not. As much as Mitch Trubisky has struggled, Robinson has a 17% off-target rate this season. That's a career low and actually better than league average. So at least when Trubisky's going to his
top
guy.
Hold on.
Can you believe that?
I cannot be right. No, I know.
Can you believe that?
I mean, no, I don't, because I have Allen Robinson. So I tend to watch when he's playing, and I feel like there's a lot of off-target stuff.
It's going to say, hold on. Eyeball
test.
What's happening right now is those of us who listen to this podcast that are Bears fans are sitting there. They're saying, hold on. There's finally a good Mitch Trubisky stat. Can we rewind for 10 seconds and replay that again? Because I'm on the internet a lot. Do Chicago radio every week. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of television. Probably too much for my own good. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a positive thing to say about Mitch Trubisky right now. Mike Clay is here to deliver you
there
a silver lining.
That's breaking news right there. But listen, that's what comes from our terrific ESPN stats and info department. They've it at 17%. So it's still, again, it's a little better than average. It's close to average. It's nothing too crazy. But nonetheless, he's a good fantasy receiver. I mean, how else would he be? I mean, how can he be this good in fantasy if it's so bad with Mitch Trubisky throwing them the ball? Well, 60 receiving yards in seven of eight games to open the season.
I feel like there's opportunity, but it's not realized. And we saw it last year, and we talked about it. And last year, he was banged up a little bit coming off the ACL injury, and he had all these soft tissue injuries. So you felt like there was contribution. I thought maybe this year was the year it would really get together. But when I watch, I don't see consistency.
I would argue it is there, though. I mean, 60-plus yards in seven of eight games.
By the numbers.
He had a bad game against the Eagles, but he still had a 24% target share. He's at least a 21% target share in all eight games this season. That's almost nine per game. He has four top 25 fantasy weeks. So maybe there's a little room for more there in a better quarterback situation. But I mean, I think he's paid off his ADP. I mean, he's been a strong wide receiver play every week, getting you pretty good wide receiver two numbers.
I'm trying to find him in this league that I happen to be looking at. I think the problem with Allen Robinson, if I just had to guess, would be this, is that we view him in a light of a very good player because he is an outstanding talent. Mm-hmm. The highs of Allen Robinson are very high. The lows are very low. That is what I think
That's what I mean by consistency.
Yeah, we identify players, and I feel like a few buckets, right? Like, this is going to be totally unfair to Allen Robinson. But, like, we've seen great games from Robbie Anderson, and then we've seen clunkers that have been, like, you know, 2 for 12. We've also seen great games from Allen Robinson, and then we've seen clunkers like this past week where I think it was 1 for 6. Anyways, yeah. Mike, you continue on. The bottom line is that you are giving us reason to believe that maybe we can get more consistent play from Robinson going forward. Is that correct?
I think you've already had it. He had one clunker. He has 60-plus yards in all but one game. We're in week 10.
You know
he's had
is?
One
you know,
game below 60
it's just
yards.
Just Mike walking me
Mike,
back.
I know.
Mike
I
is like, listen, I'm prison Mike, and I rule this roost, all right? That's how it goes.
I mean, in the past, I agree with you 100%, and maybe going forward that'll be a problem, but it just hasn't been the case this season.
Recency bias by me. My bad.
What can I say? That's
no. I'm not.
Six,
I'm not.
I'll take 60 plus
you.
Every week.
I'm with
maybe
you. I would too.
Maybe it's the 1 point I got in fantasy last week.
That'll
him,
do it.
Like,
I got it too. I'm with you. I've been happy with Allen Robinson.
The week before right, he had 11.
Yeah,
there've been some. Okay,
we can take that.
Well, how about Todd Gurley then? Let's
the
move along
he
here. We get the we are you know
24.
Sometimes Allen Robinson sounds like a football Rorschach test right now. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley.
Oh.
Maybe it's time. You like that Rorschach test.
I like the way you drop that.
Todd Gurley, maybe it's time for us to accept a new reality with Todd Gurley, Mike. And I think that many people expected this to be a new reality going into the season. Now it's kind of been borne out.
Yeah, I'm nervous here. I have him in a couple leagues. I took the discount. You can get him in round two, sometimes round three of draft. I took the discount, and I'm a little nervous. Now, look, we know he's been a outstanding touchdown source, 40 touchdowns in 29 games during the past two seasons. And he has 7 touchdowns in 7 games this season, which is great. You're like, okay, everything's going how we want, right? We're getting lots of touchdowns. That's fine. And that has really bailed out some horrific efficiency. 3.86 yards per carry, 1.86 yards after contact. That's going back to like the Jeff Fisher era. That this is worse since the Jeff Fisher era.
Take him back.
That's problematic. He also, even worse, I mean, his receiving efficiency has been brutal. 65% catch rate, 3.5 yards per target. They're both easily career lows. Set a season low in snap share during each of his past two games. He has kind of settled in as a touchdown dependent RB2 with poor efficiency behind an offensive line that struggled a bit up the middle. I have him. I've been lucky in the touchdown department. I feel lucky, and I'm worried that there's going to be a lot of duds going forward.
Yeah, I cut to those of us who were at the beginning of the season saying this. It is sort of a new reality. Every year we have this question of when a player's coming off something big. And in his case, it wasn't that he sustained a big injury, but obviously it was a big deal and the way his last season played out. And the question is he healthy going into the season? Well, according to the Rams, he was healthy. He was not listed on injury reports. It was all like, oh, you're going to get Gurley. You're going to get the same guy. And for those of us who were watching closely, it's like, how can you say that this will be the same guy when your approach is different? Your approach is he's only going to take half the reps in practice. He's going to have a day on, a day off. He's not going to play in every series. They are managing the player and doing what they need to do for their offense. And I think they're still figuring that out. But that's not the same. Those two things are not the same. And I think you're right. I think this is probably more likely the norm. I expect that there will still be a couple of these big games that people will be like, oh, my goodness, he's back. But I think that you talk about regression. I think if you have a big game like that, it'll regress back down to what this new normal is for him.
A few weeks ago when the Patriots acquired Mohamed Sanu, I had a bold take. He would be a top 30 wide receiver for the rest of the season. Some 2 weeks in, some are saying, that was a truly smart take by Caleb Yates. Mike, would you agree with that or no?
I would. I would agree with
yes.
you on that. I think I disagreed with you initially, and then Josh Gordon went on IR, and then I immediately agreed with you.
Matthew Berry right there.
I know.
Well,
the middle chair.
Right.
Listen,
what can I say?
It's all on tape. The truth is out there. Look, 10, 81, and 1 in his last game with 14 targets. The target and catch numbers, believe it or not, match career high marks from all the way back in 2014 when he was with the Bengals. That's how much usage
he
got.
How happy is he right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is only his second game in this Patriots offense. He was utilized that much. Also played every snap.
You know what he is, right?
Julian Edelman 2.0.
You literally took the words out of my mouth.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah,
they're just
going to
use them
now.
To say, yeah, two Edelmans.
But
exactly.
Why not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Edelman also played every snap in that game and also had a huge game with a very similar stat line. They're going to their bye week this week. We know that, but then they play the Eagles. We know you could take advantage of that defense. I mean, yeah, if I have Sanu, I'm starting him every week that I have him. Yeah.
I really do believe that, like, they have two Edelmans now.
Yeah.
And that's Edelman has accomplished more in his career. I mean, they have two players they will utilize in a very similar manner to what Julian Edelman is. Neither one of these players is going to be a consistent vertical threat, but both of them are going to have a chance for, I don't know, 6 to 10 catches a game. And there could be plenty of games where each one of them, they could combine in many weeks for 15 catches for 200 yards.
And they could both throw touchdowns, too.
there's going to be some play. Like, there's going to be a four-time reverse. It's going to be a direct snap to Tom Brady. He's going to throw it to Sanu. He's going to throw it to Edelman. He's going to throw it to James White. He's going to pitch it back to, like, you know, I don't know, Shaq Mason is going to run in for a touchdown.
Yeah, now Brandon Bolden will score because no one's heard.
That's right. Brandon Bolden will definitely score. All right, we're going to come back and talk about rankings. But first, we have a video from our friends over at the Fantasy Show. It's going to be electric. If you're watching the live stream right now, enjoy.
He's a brainiac. He's Mike Clay.
Again, I will contend that he might not be a brainiac.
Whoa. I just said
hey,
nice things.
He just supported
no,
you.
No, I was gonna follow that up with like whatever's smarter than a brainiac. You're a
oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
You're even better you, than
that. Yeah, that pause. That in a hurry. Long pause.
Yeah, that's right. Mike.
The wheels were turning. How do I get out of this?
I was walked back pedaling. Back pedaling like Deion Sanders.
I'm in the room. I'm sitting right next to you.
All right, a little conversation about week 10 rankings coming up, and there's a really interesting one coming up here for there's a couple of quarterbacks. So the question is more, I would say, positionally driven than it is about one specific matchup. But how much does the matchup matter in your quarterback ranks? And there's really no perfect place to start here. Just like speaking generally, Mike, because you are the person, you are the origins of our ranks each week because you set the projections. And so that when with Stefania, myself, Matthew, Tristan Cockcroft, Eric Carabell, Matthew Bowen, others who are part of the ranking process go in and do our own rankings, the tool is set to what you have. So we have to adjust accordingly. So as sort of the godfather of the rankings, Mike, how would you say matchups impact your rankings for quarterbacks?
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of variables that set the initial rank, like schedule-dependent rankings, right? The order, and you're going to get it, like Mahomes, Watson, Roger, you know, the top guys in order. So you start there, and then the adjustments I include are a few obvious things. Touchdowns allowed by the defense is a huge one, right? There's a difference between playing 49ers and the Patriots and, you know, a team like the Bengals or the Falcons or something. Obviously, that's going to sway the needle quite a bit and could potentially move a running back from, say, 3rd to 10th. There's adjustments for pace and plays. You know, offense, like if you play Arizona, you're going to run more offensive plays. If you play Baltimore, you may not because they're on the field so often. So that's a factor. The pass run rate, which is driven a lot by it could be scheme, but also game script, of course. You know, if I make an adjustment and it looks like the team's going to score fewer points, they're probably going to be behind more often. They're going to throw more passes. So that obviously factors in as well. And then, of course, efficiency stats. I'm going to look at the efficiency of defenses in categories like yards per attempt. So all those variables kind of work together and will move players up and down. But I'll just, you know, add this on the end. A player may move more than another because they're a pocket passer in a tough matchup, whereas a runner like Lamar Jackson might not move much because you know he's going to run for 60 or 70 yards, maybe a touchdown. So you don't have to move the needle as much in a tougher matchup.
Yeah, rankings are interesting for me because with quarterbacks specifically, there are some guys that I just say, even if the matchup is poor, like I'm just going to take my chances because you only play one. It can be difficult to roster two depending on the time of the season again. Like if you had thought about benching Lamar Jackson last week, you would have had to add another quarterback. There were four teams on a bye. It's very possible that the preferred options may have been picked up ahead of you. So for not that I ignore matchups for quarterbacks, but I tend to trust my guy. If I have a guy that I trust, leave it there. So matchups definitely matter. I think about it a little bit more with my flex considerations more than anything. Hopefully your roster is fortified enough that you, I don't say you don't tinker at all during the week, but that there are some players, the core, that just sort of, it is who it is.
Well, I think the matchups, they affect me a little bit. And there's one in particular this week where Russell Wilson, who's been playing out of his mind, has just been a wizard on the field, comes up against the 49ers defense. And this is going to be a tough game. I think it's tough on both sides. Like we saw this NFC West. You can be a team that's not doing very well. You're still going to play very, very, very hard. And they always play them tough. And Russell Wilson just has the ability to do things with his legs that if it were another team playing the defense like that, I would probably drop him further, but he still stays the top 10 quarterback for me because he's Russell Wilson.
I think we kind of learned a lesson this past week because there were some people that wondered, you know, should you be benching Lamar Jackson against the Patriots? And not that this is a carbon copy, but there actually are some very similar concepts
there,
here, right?
Yeah.
Dominant defense versus a quarterback that's been absolutely scorched earth so far this year in Russell Wilson. And I understand that he is not the runner that Lamar Jackson is, but still, the idea of benching Russell Wilson, I mean, I've got him in the war room and we're rolling him out there because although it's possible that, you know, the 49ers defense can be as dominant as it was for their first seven games,
they have lost we're coming to off Seattle at home.
Oh, and we're coming off of Kyler Murray week. Kyler Murray with lesser weapons than Russell Wilson, a lesser offensive line, comparable rushing ability. Both can run, but don't necessarily run a ton relative to someone like Lamar Jackson. And he just went 23 points against them. So yep. I feel fine playing Russell Wilson this week and just saying, like, could he get you 12? Possible. But could he get you 30 because he's Russell Wilson? Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. And I have him QB8. I know we're all pretty close. We still view him as a starter, but I will say this. Four times this season, Wilson has finished the week 16th or worse among quarterbacks, right? So these guys do have down weeks. Sometimes it's going to be just bad luck, like they just don't get a passing touchdown. Other times it is related to matchups and they just don't have as efficient a day. So I think it's important to consider all variables. Some are more important than others. And I'm like you, like we ranked Jackson as a starter last week. We're ranking Wilson as a starter this week. So you can move the needle a little bit. But that kind of thing, I mean, if you have him, you probably don't have a better option, you're going to start him, and that's fine.
All right, so similar conversation about matchups, but not necessarily as generic. Just the idea that David Johnson plays the Buccaneers this week, and this game has all kinds of shootout potential. So I'm actually more optimistic than the two of you, specifically you, Mike. I know you're a little bit down on Johnson, a little bit, not mm-hmm. benching him, but still. The reason why I have him at number 8 right now, and I understand that we expect him to play and he could still be a little bit banged up, but I'm assuming he'll be healthy going into this matchup. That's my operating mm-hmm. idea for this ranking, is that A, Chris Carson did rip off a big long run against the Seahawks last week, and B, David Johnson is such a dynamic part of the passing game in Arizona that, you know, if he gets you 6 catches for, let's say, 40 yards, plus runs it and scores a touchdown, like, I could totally see a top 10 finish. You're just saying, I'm assuming, you know, this is a brick wall run defense in Tampa Bay, so yes. You better mitigate your expectations.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a top 12 running back in 5 of his 6 seasons, which we kind of talked about that earlier. He's still been a pretty darn good fantasy quarterback and a lot of utilization, playing almost 80% of the snaps, but it's really about the defense. Bucks defense, second fewest fantasy points to running backs, second fewest rushing yards, and fourth fewest receptions and receiving yards allowed. And again, Johnson does a lot of his damage as a pass catcher. And I thought this was really interesting. Running back units facing the Buccaneers this season are averaging 13 fewer fantasy points than their average. That's nearly double the next closest team, the 49ers, at -7. That's unbelievable how dominant they have been against that position. And it really makes me nervous about this, about Johnson and the running back room here for Arizona. Again, I still feel like Johnson, even if you move him down, still a starter. But like if I'm playing DFS or something, I'd stay away.
Yeah, so I had come in a little bit different. So obviously my lens, you know, it's like I'm going to look at it through the injury window. And I also look at the fact that David Johnson, the last time they put him on the field, he was out there for 3 snaps.
Don't remind me.
No, I experienced it in several. I have a lot of stock in David Johnson. I want him. I'm the lowest in the rankings, but I fluctuate a lot during the week depending on the practice reports, what the player will do. Now, they said that they expected him to potentially come back this week, but I still haven't seen it yet in practice. And my other thought was last time they were planning on a workload share. Now, I don't think that's a permanent thing in Arizona, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they were still concerned about how he would actually hold up in a game because the ankle is a lot trickier. This is the kind of thing where I want, you know, when he gets back in and if it's bothering him, does that mitigate his usage to some degree?
This is setting up poorly for me. I'm starting. You're making me nervous now, but still.
But I mean, by Friday, I might be moving him much closer to like a 12 or, you know, top 12 ranking, I would say.
So here's what happens. Daniel hosts a fantasy show once, and all of a sudden he's scheduling himself days off, which is why the great Jackson Ajello is behind the board today. But David Montgomery is a player that Daniel Dopp has said, no. Don't tell me you're playing David Montgomery this week. Don't you dare do it. And maybe that's because they're playing the Lions on Sunday, and he's trying to tell you that, like, watch out for the brick wall of the Lions defense, which might
not
be a brick wall.
There hasn't been a brick wall.
Yeah, what? What kind of wall is this?
It's a porous.
This is not a wall.
Hey, for sure.
I'm just imagining what Daniel might be saying.
This is right? A wall made
of
paper cups.
But both of you guys are excited about David Montgomery. Daniel told me, fool's gold! Don't you dare start him this week. I've got him at 22. You guys are more optimistic. You think that the recent production, albeit sometimes low efficiency, can keep up?
I do. I mean,
I'm hoping so, you know?
Yeah, look at the game against the Eagles last week. And I think the way we kind of laid it out is how it went, right? 14 carries, 40 yards, had 3 catches for 36 yards. We didn't expect efficiency against that shutdown Eagles run defense, but he still bailed you out with 2 touchdowns because he's on the field so much, and they got to the goal line, and he ran it in. One of them might have been a receiving touchdown, but nonetheless, he finds the end zone twice. So had a good day, has 41 carries, 7 catches, 3 touchdowns during his past 2 games. fantasy point totals 23 and 25. And you mentioned the Lions defense, most fantasy points to running backs this season, 13 touchdowns is second most, and 1,415 scrimmage yards. That is third most to running backs. They cannot stop that position. He is a workhorse now in Chicago. He's playing well. I don't see how he's not a top 15
player. Me, it's sort of the triangulation of the improvement of David Montgomery and how much they're using him. Ever since Matt Nagy said he knew that they needed to run the ball more, and it's like, oh my goodness, imagine that. You're having success running the ball here. To also potentially, lack of confidence in the quarterback situation, but Montgomery's been playing well, and you have the Lions defense, which is nothing if not consistent in allowing running back points. So we were just talking about looking at the matchup. This is a case where I definitely look at the matchup, especially when it's a consistency issue for the Lions. That's not a fluke. They've been that way all year long, and they haven't been able to stop the run.
Which is a surprise, because they do have a defensive line that on paper I would have thought would have been very good. Snacks Harrison, now I understand Mike Daniels has been banged up, but still Snacks
and
Harrison,
Hands
Trey
too.
Flowers, Deshaun Hanson banged up. Yes, I would have thought they would have been a better defense against the run than they have been so far. But let's get to some positive Lions stuff. Marvin Jones has been really, really good of late. Matthew Stafford is just en fuego right now, specifically over the past 3 weeks.
Back year.
It's been awesome. He's been really good.
Great.
I know our friend Dan Orlovsky thinks he should be in the MVP conversation. And I think just based off of his play alone, there's a case. It's just that, the team is not successful enough that he'll actually be in the conversation. Marvin Jones, though, a player this week that Mike and I have outside of our top 20. The Bears, frustrating on offense, but defensively, they're still outstanding. This is, a secondary that remains, if not as statistically solid as it was last year, still nearly as effective in limiting opposing wide receiver points.
Yeah, it's not forcing interceptions. It's been the difference
That's
for
the
them,
only
right?
Thing.
That's
yep.
been,
mm-hmm.
it's like they had 27 picks last year. I think they have, five this year? It's been a massive drop-off. But you're right, fifth fewest fantasy points allowed to wide receiver, seventh fewest yards, and only three touchdowns to that position. And look, if not for the matchup, I think we'd all rank Jones top 20, maybe top 15 with six teams on a bye because he has been pretty good. He's wide receiver 14 on the season. He has he's finished top four two of the past 3 weeks at receiver. He's really spiked, but he's been a little boom bust as well. Three top 11s, but outside the top 50 four different times. This might be one of those weeks playing this Bears defense. So we moved him down again with six teams on a bye. I still think he's a starter, but he's not a guy of as much confidence as normal.
You a little bit more gravy train riding right now, Stefania?
Yeah, and also it's the eyeball test, really, for me. Marvin Jones has out-muscled on these big, though you have a stat, we have a stat here. He's caught 62.5% of his deep targets as opposed to 44.4% for Galladay. Marvin Jones is a guy who I feel like will go up and win that battle, and that's part of the advantage for him. So you get the benefit in fantasy points when you get a deep play and a guy who's going to out-muscle the other guy for the win. I think he's doing this much better than he has in the past. That's just watching him play measure. I don't have a number, but when you figure out how to make my eyeball test into a stat, Mike, you let me know.
Well, look, stats are just charting what we see with our eyes, right? So that is... the numbers are
written.
Mike's team's tombstone one day. Mike Clay
when
lived
you're
a
like
great life.
Out muscling, you're out physicaling.
That would be
a
what? That'd be 50-50 balls. They track that stuff now. He could find that in Next Gen Stats.
He really is going to make it be.
Amazing.
He's
going to
tell
well
me
done.
There's a stat for that. There's a stat.
There's
for
a
that.
Stat for everything these days.
Okay. I have a question for you. Is there a stat about how poorly the Browns have used Odell Beckham Jr. so far this season?
I guess so. I mean, the fact that Jarvis Landry has more targets, would that be?
There is just not a single statistical barometer that I can point to from Odell Beckham Jr. and say, good job, Cleveland, you're really nailing that one. Trade to the first round pick plus more to acquire Odell Beckham Jr. Obviously, you know all that. You know that he's a wonderful talent, and he actually showed it last week in a couple, just a beautiful catch against the Broncos late in that game, and you're thinking to yourself, aha, there's the guy. And yet, for whatever reason, in high leverage spots, the Browns don't find a way to get the football to Odell Beckham. Begrudgingly, I still have him inside my top 20, and I want to see him do well. I've got him in the War Room League. There's a lot at stake here. Are we confident at all, even a shred, that against a really good Buffalo secondary, he can get off the schneid?
Not this week. I think that I'm gonna have a very optimistic case here on Beckham for the long term.
We're 2/3 of the way through the season.
I know, but it's not over yet. If you're still hanging in there, if you're 500,
he can help you in the fantasy playoffs if he hasn't kept you out of them.
Well, hey, if you built a good team, you should be hanging in there. Look, he still has, despite the fact that he's been wholly disappointing this year, still has double digit fantasy points in 6 of his 8 games, despite what is the league's hardest schedule for wide receivers through week 10. So including this week against Buffalo, if you look at fantasy points allowed to wide receivers and look at the schedule of every team in the league, the Browns have had the worst through week 10. So you still have the tough one this week. The Bills, third fewest fantasy points to receivers, 9th most targets against, but the 7th fewest receiving yards and only 2 touchdowns. That's how efficient they've been. I think he draws the Tre'Davious White shadow, which makes life even tougher on him. But here's where it gets positive. I mentioned they've had the hardest schedule so far. They have the 11th easiest from week 11 on. So there are some lighter matchups. It's not as, you know, it's 11th easiest, whatever. It's like mid-pack, fine. But it's a lot easier than what he has dealt with over the past month and a half, which has been, look at it. Denver, the 49ers, the Patriots,
there was two things. One is there are some receivers we talk about as supposedly being matchup proof. Like these are guys you don't worry. I mean, we don't worry about Julio Jones against the matchups. We don't worry. And granted, they have down days, but that doesn't explain the consistently down performance. I mean, there's a lot more than just Odell. But here's one I want to know if you have a stat for. When you see, we know that Odell is unhappy with how he's being utilized. We see the camera. There's a side to convince they have a camera dedicated to watching how Odell reacts when he's on the sideline after games like this. As he gets deeper in these things, the frustration buildup, how do you factor that into the performance? You can't tell me it doesn't make a difference at all.
I mean, he didn't seem happy in New York, and he was an elite fantasy receiver. So I don't know. I mean, man, we give Eli Manning a hard time. He got the ball to OBJ.
Yes.
Give him credit for that. At least he got the ball. But I just feel like Beckham really has had an extraordinarily hard schedule. Like it's a very unique odd situation that they've played like 4 of the 5 best pass defenses over a month and a half. And it's shown in his numbers. And he has spiked at times. He had 6 for 161 at one point, 6 for 101. I believe that was against Seattle. 5 for 87. He has at times been decent. And that's, you know, what he's played 8 games. We mentioned like 5 of them were extremely tough defenses. He's had a couple good games. I think he can put together some pretty good games in the second half here.
I have nothing to say. I'm just like, I hope, I pray. I want it desperately. I just want.
He's still really good.
No kidding.
But I think everybody knows that. That's the frustration. It's like you sit there when you have a receiver like that. You go, I can't leave him on my bench because this could be the game. But you're now going into week 10, and for the most of those weeks, it hasn't worked out. And I believe what you're saying. And I have him ranked the lowest of all of us. And I was debating, literally looking at him at 20, going, you know, I'm starting 2 wide receivers every week. Am I telling myself that I'm starting him? Because maybe I'm not. I don't know.
I'm just
Field. Are you starting him? You're the one who has him on.
Yeah, I'm starting him. We're definitely starting him. I'm just hopeful. I'm starting him with some hope. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
Of course.
Yep.
It's as if they're so big and they can get away without caring about the customer experience. Seems ridiculous to me. So what if their site's annoying and doesn't have the events you want? Hello, status quo. The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more, including Sad Factory of the Browns offense. SeatGeek has tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. They built the fastest way to find tickets, so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? A quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. How's that for customer satisfaction? SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced, and every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's roll.
All right. Before we get into these questions, I would like to add quickly to the Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, please do.
By using Mike's OTD stat.
You were just going to come hard as a fan.
Yeah, I think we all know what I think about this.
Yes, I want to hear the fan perspective.
But 172nd in OTD, just ahead of the venerable Mac Hollins.
Wow.
He has 2 end zone targets this season.
That's rough.
Field 2. Is dead now.
The funny thing is, I don't even remember both end zone targets. I watched every snap. I thought he might have had one. I can remember one.
They probably sailed over his head, if we're being honest.
Maybe it did. I can only remember one. So either way.
Yeah,
worse than I thought. Yeah.
I am so hopeful. But
Field's still starting him.
The options are slim.
it really does depend on who you have. Like, I have a league where I have no choice, and there's another league where I struggle with it each week in my flex spot, whether to play.
Because it's hard to picture. I mean, let's be honest. There's emotion in fantasy football. It's hard to just say, I'm just going to put him on my bench and take my chances. Because you'd feel foolish if he did what you expect Odell Beckham to do.
Yeah, when he goes 6 for 172 and 2 touchdowns and he's sitting on your bench, you want to you want to shoot yourself. So
I've decided I'm going to do something. You know what I'm going to say? I'm just going to praise Odell Beckham Jr. Incredible talent. I'm hopeful that he sees lots of targets on Sunday, and I hope that he scores a touchdown or two. And I just respect his game. I'm going to leave it right there. Now, that's the last I will say about Odell Beckham Jr. on this podcast.
Maybe you could try and release him like Daniel did with Stephon
Diggs. Yeah, can you do that?
Set him free.
I don't have those powers. Daniel does. I'd love to have those powers.
I mean, the Browns only need to win out to possibly make the playoffs. So, I mean, we could use
that. I would love to.
Possibly. Like, they could win out and still just possibly.
I don't know if I have the powers. Look at him with 10 wins.
Yeah. A history, probably would. All right. To the questions. David wants to know, do you think Latavius Murray has earned himself standalone value?
Nope.
I don't think so either. I think it's tough. In a deeper league, maybe. If like a 16-team league, perhaps, because running backs are hard to find with 6 teams on a bye. But other than that, nope.
Six weeks he has played with Kamara. His fantasy finishes 23rd, 58, 74, 61, 48, 29.
I guess nope sums it up then, doesn't it?
I know. Nope. Period.
Okay, so Justin asks in the chat here, what do you do with the Patriots defense this week? And then, of course, in that case, which DSTs would you pick up for streaming?
I'd hold. I personally would hold. Certainly, and the schedule coming up after the bye is not great, but if you look at the last, I think, 4 weeks of the season, if not the playoffs are magical. I believe it's the Bengals, Bills, Dolphins, and Jets to finish the season for the Patriots.
Oh, what a gift for
them. They have the Chiefs in week 14. After that, it's Bengals, Bills, Dolphins.
Yeah.
Love that.
So you love that. It's pretty favorable right there. So, yes. feel pretty good about that. So, anyways, let's get back to, I think we all agree we'd hold, right?
Yep. No question. Yep.
Streaming options here include, but are not limited to, if we could scroll this screen up just a little bit, the Colts who face the Dolphins on Sunday, the Ravens who face the Bengals. They're available in 66% of leagues.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it becomes a little bit more about how you feel. How lucky do you feel? Do you feel good about the Jets' defense against the Giants or the Lions' defense against the Bears?
Jets are like number 6 in points, aren't they, in ESPN standard? Aren't they up there? I think the Jets are.
If I'm looking at all the turnovers.
I maybe have the opposite. Maybe it's the Giants.
The turnover potential. I always like looking at defenses who can capitalize on turnovers because those points don't go away. I don't care as much about yardage against. But
agreed, Stefania. By the way, I think I know the answer on the Jets. Remember, they had 2 defensive touchdowns against the Patriots all the way back in, what was it, week 2? They had, remember the Patriots won like 30-14, but it was a Jamal Adams pick 6 and Jared Stidham.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then Gunnar Olszewski muffed the punt and the Jets returned it like 3 yards.
Yep.
I think that might skew the data a little bit there.
I think you're probably right, yes.
Yeah. Did I just drop a stat on Mike's head?
I think so.
Let's go! Let's go!
You just
posterized him.
Posterized you.
But also, the Giants with a propensity for turning the ball over could be a good play with it.
10 interceptions.
Exactly. Very available. Jones.
I learned that yesterday from Mike. All right, Keith.
Yeah, Eric wants to know, along those same lines of streamers, which QBs do you like most this week on this heavy bye week?
Give you 4 more options here, and I know you guys can add any that you might have in mind, but Daniel Jones available in 2/3 of leagues for the Giants. As I said yesterday on the podcast, in 2 good spots, he delivered. In the remainder of bad spots that he's played in, he has not delivered. Daniel Jones has a good spot against the Jets. Ryan Tannehill, to quote the great John Gruden, available in 92% of leagues, has 19 plus fantasy points.
I would be thinking about this. They're going to have to score a lot, right? Yep. We think Patrick Mahomes is going to be back. So they're going to have to put the ball in the air. Tannehill's been
They have three touchdowns in all three of his starts, yeah. offensively.
Yeah. 19 points each of those three starts.
Look.
Brian Hoyer against the Dolphins comes to mind as well.
Yeah. Or yeah, do we... I guess it depends on Brissett. If Brissett plays, he is. And I was going
to
mention him.
Yeah, Brissett is really week to week at this point. By the way, I know I'm not here on the pod Monday or Tuesday, but how the guy was standing on the sidelines, I don't know, because when you saw it happen, this is where you have to be careful about judging too much from a video, because it looked terrible.
Tell it to Twitter.
But then he was out there and you know, on the sideline, and I think his hope is to come back, but we're a good distance from that right now. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I would. I would just mention Phillip Rivers if he's out there in shallower leagues against Oakland. Jimmy Garoppolo against Seattle.
If he's out there, you've
heard of him. You know him. And how about
Fresh
this one
off
in deep 28.
leagues? 28.4 point fantasy point performance. Yeah. Not that I pay attention. Or anything.
I'm in a deep league where if 14 team or a lot of two quarterbacks are owned, and I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, and I'm going to fire up with because of buys and injuries, Mitch Trubisky. This week against Detroit.
Oh, go get him, Mike.
Against
go get
him. Detroit.
Let me ask you something. Do we have a company policy about not drinking on the job? Because Mike Clay has not fired off two positive things about Mitch Trubisky.
Like, I know.
Good matchup. Adds a little value with his legs.
Boy,
gets the ball to Allen Robinson.
Trubisky whiskey to drink did you drink this morning?
He's been drinking out of that Alcatraz cup.
That Alcatraz. By the way, Daniel is not here to tell you. He would go nuts right now if he knew that you were picking the Lions.
Yeah, this is true. That's good we did this today.
I'm proud of you, Mike. All right, Keith, any more?
Yeah, we got a handful more still. Lots of good questions today. Multiple listeners actually wanted to know about what your expectations are for Kareem Hunt.
Oof. I'll tell you.
Don't know.
I'll tell you.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, but Mike does.
Yeah, Nick Chubb, 21 touches, 109 yards. Kareem Hunt, 7 touches, 41 yards. How about that? By the way, I'll throw a note in here. If you're like, that's too wide a gap. Like, he's more 7 touches, that's too much. If you have Nick Chubb on your roster and you feel that way, you should be trading him right now. Because if he's going to fall down to 15 to 17 touches to get Hunt involved, he's not going to be able to be an RB1. He's just not going to, especially in this offense that struggled to score touchdowns. So just keep that in mind.
I have no clue. I can't recall. I really don't have an example off the top of my head. The last time a player of Kareem Hunt's abilities changed teams. Missed a significant portion of the season. No injury concern, obviously.
We haven't seen him since he had surgery.
Okay, sorry. Presumably.
Presumably not, but again, like, until I see it. You know, some guys it takes a little bit longer to look like their old selves. Like, do we know if he looks like the Kareem Hunt that we saw in Kansas City?
Yeah, he hasn't played in a year, right?
So. But I don't know what he would be. I don't know. I'm not trying to skirt the question. I just don't know. I'd rather rely on Mike's projections.
Yeah, that's what we have for the projection this week. I think it's conservative. But you're right. There are a lot of question marks here. We have to let it play out. But again, if you're high on Hunt and you think he's going to be a big factor and you have Nick Chubb on your roster, you can't feel great about RB1 production going forward.
Yeah. Tyler wants to know, can you rank these flex guys for the rest of the season? Sanu, McLaurin, and Singletary.
I'm going Singletary
first.
Me too.
For me. Sanu second.
And then McLaurin.
Agreed.
McLaurin's really come back down to earth.
It's not his fault. It's the quarterback.
Yep. Yeah.
I think he's good. Even when he's not catching the ball, it's off target or he catches a 10-yard hitch or something like
he's
that.
Really good.
He looks really good.
Sure,
like
I
he's
agree.
Getting open. It's just a bad situation. They haven't scored a touchdown in a month. That's not his fault. Three straight games without a touchdown.
I know. Look at the Cleveland fan feels better. The Cleveland fan is laughing behind
that's,
the glass.
That's pretty bad.
It was like a wicked laugh when but he's they, like, they haven't scored a touchdown.
You want me to ruin that for you?
No, it's because Matthew's not here. Oh, yeah. Don't ruin it for me because the Browns have only thrown one touchdown pass. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
they're the only team without two touchdowns.
That's enough out of you, Mike. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good fact. All right. Todd wants to know, is it a good time to give up on Wentz as my weekly starter?
I don't think so, and here's why. We just talked about schedules, and the Eagles...
Let's up late, right?
They're on a bye, yeah. They're on a bye, then they have New England. You obviously don't like that matchup. Then they're home against Seattle. You do like that one. At Miami, good. Giants, good. Redskins, good. Cowboys at home, fine in week 16. And then if you play into week 17, Giants. It doesn't get much lighter than that. They have a nice finish there.
It,
incredibly light. One
Note
of the easiest
self,
schedules left.
If somebody gives up on Carson Wentz, I'm going to go with that schedule. I love it.
There you go.
Got one last one here from Millers. How drastically has your dynasty outlook changed for Mixon, Gurley, and Godwin this season?
Yeah, this could be a long conversation. It really could be. The one thing I'll say, Joe Mixon's still 23 and led the AFC in rushing last year. I think he's going to be okay. Once Jonah Williams comes back next year, they'll address the O-line in the offseason, I hope. I mean, we thought they'd address the defense in the offseason. They did not do that. So we'll see. I still have high hopes for him. Todd Gurley's 25, which is still pretty young, but is he going to be on their team next year? Like, they have cap issues, right? I mean, could they move on to Daryl Henderson? I'm a little more nervous there with the health and.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the being on the team. I hadn't really even gotten into that thought.
I don't know what the cap implications are.
After what they paid him. But I mean, I think from a standpoint of what he is as a running back, I think he is what he is, at least with this team. You know, if you're talking about him going somewhere else and they're like, we're going to push him out there, you might see flashes of the old Tiger Lily, but you don't know how long that will last.
And then, Chris Godwin, he'd be there.
Chris Godwin,
he'd be right there near the top of the wide receiver depth chart.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt. Top 10 for sure, wide receiver one. I wouldn't treat him like, oh, this is just a half-season flash and he's going to crash back to earth. He's kind of been quiet the past few weeks, but I think he's a legit talent. And in a high-scoring Bucs offense, they're putting up 20, 25, 30 points every week. It doesn't matter if they play on the West Coast, in Seattle, L.A., if they're at home, they score so many points,
Jameis,
and he's a big part of it.
Jameis is going to throw the ball. It's just the games where he actually gets it to those guys versus somebody else.
And Jameis, barring a late-season crash, will probably be back next year, too. I mean,
franchise tech. That's my.
Yeah, I think so, too, unless he just crashes in the second half and starts throwing
I think a franchise tag makes sense for a few reasons that we can get into another podcast on another day. Speaking of another day, tomorrow we're coming back with Mike and I will be here hanging out doing a little bit of wide receiver cornerback matchups, some advancement of injury news that we talked about earlier on today, potential playoff preps for those that are looking towards weeks 14 through 17, and of course, Thursday night preview, Raiders against the Chargers. Can't wait for that matchup. In the meantime, we'll talk to you guys mañana. Peace out.
Twitter says he loves college hoops and talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you're looking to start a bowling league, he already has a team. The NFL